When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. How do you know you're not overpaying? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a technology company that securely connects with your insurance and reviews your claims for overbilling, wrong codes, and even fraud. To date, HealthLock has saved its members over $130 million. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's healthlock.com.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey guys, before we start the show, if you're not a RedPilledAmerica.com subscriber, what are you waiting for? We need your support. We don't have the government funding us like NPR. All we have is you. Become an RPA FamBam member by going to RedPilledAmerica.com and clicking Join in the top menu.
Support a show devoted to the truth and that shares your values. RedPilledAmerica.com. Previously on Red Pilled America.
What can we do to stop the spread of anti-Semitism?
If Candace wants to say those things about the Jews, she has to leave the Daily Wire.
Klavan even went as far as to equate Candace's actions with that of Satan.
In fact, I felt a small investment in her.
In large part, I kind of discovered her.
So I was born in White Plains, New York, but I was raised in Stamford, Connecticut.
Candace was expected to work from a young age.
I received some phone calls one night, just really volatile, extremely racist voicemails.
The political connection made the story go nuclear.
A woman named Zoe Quinn reached out to her.
She says, "You're going to ruin everything." I was red pilled instantly.
She believed she was chosen for a mission.
I'm Patrick Carelci.
And I'm Adriana Cortez.
And this is Red Pilled America, a storytelling show.
This is not another talk show covering the day's news. We're all about telling stories.
Stories Hollywood doesn't want you to hear.
Stories the media mocks. Stories about everyday Americans that the globalists ignore.
You can think of Red Pilled America as audio documentaries, and we promise only one thing. The truth. Welcome to Red Pilled America. We're at part two of our series of episodes entitled Family Feud. If you haven't heard part one, stop and go back and listen from the beginning. We're looking for the answer to the question, what can we do to stop the spread of anti-Semitism? By telling the story of the epic conflict between Candace Owens and the Daily Wire. So to pick up where we left off, by July 2017, the young Candace Owens had already been through a lifetime of controversy. As a high school senior, she made statewide news after fielding racial slurs from the son of a powerful Connecticut politician. In the process, she witnessed the cold, calculated underbelly of the NAACP when they used her trauma for a photo op. A few years later, she unknowingly stepped into a culture war by challenging the credibility of a feminist darling, Zoe Quinn. The media, who Candace thought were the defenders of young black females, attacked her for daring to question Quinn's intentions. Then when an up-and-coming filmmaker named Mike Cernovich reached out in her defense, she experienced another awakening. Google's vile description of Cernovich bared no resemblance to the man she met in person. Her trust in big tech was forever shattered. These ordeals had Candace questioning everything, and an unmistakable feeling began sweeping over her. Candace thought that a higher power was preparing her for something bigger. After about a year of reflection, she decided to go on a mission to convince her brothers and sisters that they were being used. Candace Owens believed that to acquire and retain power, the Democrat Party was seeding a victim narrative into the minds of the Black community.
There is a message that I was chosen to deliver to the Black community. I feel that from the bottom of my soul, that I was picked to do this. That these things, these huge, crazy things, trying to do a good thing gone wrong, a random car ride with strangers I've never met, turning into front page news, these don't happen to somebody by chance. They happen to someone because it was preparing me for a bigger moment, a moment of harsh criticism.
She thought she'd found her calling. So in the summer of 2017, Candace set up a camera, pressed record, and introduced herself to the world as Red Pill Black.
Mom, Dad, I'm a lesbian. I like girls.
In her debut, Candace created a video of her coming out to both her parents. She played all three roles.
Oh, sweetheart. We always knew. The bottom line, we just want our children to be happy. We love you regardless. Brave soul. Oh, thank you guys. Oh, also, I think I might be a conservative. I don't understand. I can't breathe. Hey, get that camera out of my wife's face. Guys, it's totally fine. It's okay. I just, you know, think a little more conservatively. But sweetheart, you're Black.
Her first video went viral, and she was just getting started. Candace created short videos addressing the issues of feminism, transgenders in the military, and the myth that BLM helps Blacks.
I don't support the Black Lives Matter movement whatsoever because the Black Lives Matter movement does not support me. I think that a better title for that movement would be Black Deaths Matter. They will pay for somebody's funeral, but they will not pay for somebody's college education.
These videos racked up major views on YouTube. But it was a tragic event in Charlottesville, Virginia, that would put Candace Owens on the radar of some major independent media platforms.
One person is dead and 19 injured after a speeding vehicle drove into a group of protesters marching peacefully through downtown Charlottesville.
The death of an Antifa ally at a Charlottesville rally called Unite the Right put the media into overdrive.
Groups including the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis came from across the country to rally against plans to remove a Confederate statue from a park. The violence included an apparent attack with a car on a crowd of peaceful protesters.
The media pushed the story that racists from across the country descended on the Unite the Right rally. But what they failed to highlight was that the so-called white supremacist rallygoers amounted to just a few dozen people. If this were all of the racists that a country of over 300 million could muster, then the problem of racism wasn't much of a problem at all. It was obvious the media was trying to whip up its reliable white supremacy narrative, but Candace Owens wasn't taking the bait.
White supremacy and the KKK. Really? That's what you guys want me to be concerned with this week? Do I look like an idiot? I mean, why think we didn't hear a single thing about David Duke, white supremacy, and the KKK the entire time Obama was in office? Do you think that they were all hiding underground, waiting for the next white president, meeting by the light of the moon? Use your brain.
Her video again went viral, but this time it caught the eye of Paul Joseph Watson, a contributor at Alex Jones's InfoWars.
She is Candace Owens. You can check her out on Twitter at Red Pill Black. The YouTube video, which shot to prominence a few days ago in the aftermath of Charlottesville, was entitled, "I don't care about Charlottesville, the KKK, or white supremacy." Candace, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
And it was in this early Alex Jones appearance that Candace made a confession.
Speaking of Kanye West, do you think he's starting to wake up?
He's been awake.
A few months earlier, in November 2016, the rapper then known as Kanye West stepped on a stage at a concert in San Jose and said something that shocked his audience and the media.
I told y'all I didn't vote, right? But if I would have voted, I would have voted on Trump.
The president-elect is getting support from an unexpected source, Kanye West.
Kanye West told fans at a concert in California yesterday that, had he voted, he would have voted for Donald Trump.
The admission rocked many within the hip-hop world. Most chalked it up to Kanye being Kanye. But then oddly, 4 days later, the artist was hospitalized and placed on a psychiatric hold at the UCLA Medical Center. After he was released, Kanye took a trip to the Trump Tower in New York City for a photo op with the president-elect.
We've been friends for a long time. Life. We discussed it.
Hi, no comment about your meeting with the president-elect. This is the president-elect of the United States. Nothing to say?
I just wanted to take a picture right now.
The turn of events got the attention of Trump supporters. But by the time Candace connected with Alex Jones in the summer of 2017, she had already been a fan of the rapper for years.
He's a genius. Kanye West is a genius, and he's never subscribed to groupthink. He's never subscribed to identity politics. And I wrote very early on before I got involved in politics, if you consider yourself a fan of Kanye West, there's no way that you cannot be supporting Donald Trump.
By the way, Candace, I know about your story, but this is riveting. I want to beg you to come on the full show sometime with Paul and I and share these stories.
The InfoWars appearance introduced Candace to a much wider audience, including popular philosophy streamer Stefan Molyneux, who at the time had an enormous YouTube platform.
Stefan Molyneux from Free Domain Radio here with Candace Owens. She goes also under the name Red Pill Black. Some of the funniest videos, bar none, on the internet. Candace, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Absolutely. I'm honored to be here.
Her early message was clear. The black community needed to demand more of itself and drop the victim mentality.
Black people have grown to accept the fact that they can't be more, that they can't be smarter, that they can't be better, in so much that they've sort of woven it into our culture, that this is now a sign of true blackness.
In a short amount of time, Candace had caught the attention of Mike Cernovich, Paul Joseph Watson, Alex Jones, and now Stefan Molyneux, all huge names in independent media. Contrary to what many conservative commentators would later claim,
in fact, I felt a small investment in her.
In large part, I kind of discovered her.
It was actually independent journalists in the New Right that first discovered and amplified the budding black conservative commentator. But it wouldn't be long before mainstream authorized conservatives sniffed a star in the making, and they wanted to get in on the action.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you want to hear Red Pilled America stories ad-free? Then become a Backstage subscriber. Just log on to redpilledamerica.com and click Join in the top menu. Join today and help us save America one story at a time.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So as the new right introduced Candace Owens to a wider audience, mainstream authorized conservatives began to sniff a star in the making, including Fox News' Jesse Waters.
Candace Owens was a lifelong Democrat, but became disillusioned with the left after she found herself harassed by a prominent progressive. That's when she had her red pill moment.
We are literally like hamsters on a wheel. Run.
Candace joins me now. So Candace, what do you mean by a hamster mentality with Black Americans?
Well, with Black Americans, I mean, the main issue is that we keep voting Democrat and expecting different results. And in every major city where Democrats are running, like Chicago, it's a complete mess. I mean, it's an absolute disaster.
Within hours of her appearance on Fox News, a hit piece landed on far-left website Salon.com. The writer labeled Candace the toxic right's newest African-American star and argued that her message was ridiculous because in the United States, racism trumps all. Even the left recognized she was going places. It was around this time that Candace caught the eye of political commentator Dave Rubin. At the time, Dave was going through a bit of a political shift himself. He long considered himself a progressive, but then started butting heads with his woke comrades on the left. As a result, he started rebranding himself as a champion of free speech, a story he told Red Pilled America in 2020.
I grew up in a Jewish family where, you know, there's an old joke that if you have four Jews in a room, you have five opinions. That cultural Judaism, almost like a Seinfeldization of Judaism, where it's about talking, it's about arguing. And this is what rabbis have done for centuries, is argue over what does this line in the Torah mean, and let's argue it out and figure out every which way to view this. Well, I grew up in a family that at every holiday, whether it was a religious holiday or Thanksgiving, a secular holiday, we would argue about everything at a giant table with aunts and uncles and cousins and grandmas, you know, often a table that would span into two rooms of 40 people, and everyone would be screaming their opinions and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, dessert would be served and everybody would just stop. It was like, oh, you think this about abortion, you think this about Israel, you think this about taxes, but here's dessert, let it go. And then we'd do it again the next night.
Prior to 2016, being gay placed Dave firmly outside of the conservative tent. But by the time he met Candace in September 2017, a change was already firmly underway within the mainstream conservative movement.
But I believe that the gays have every right to exist within the conservative movement to make their case on why there's a conservative case for gay marriage.
In 2011, conservative publisher Andrew Breitbart argued that openly gay right-wingers should have a place in the conservative movement. Many agreed with this sentiment, including the future hosts of Red Pilled America.
I'm looking to do everything I can to create e pluribus unum in this country. That's why I support Black conservatives. I support gay conservatives. I am a melting pot guy.
The idea initially met with resistance by social conservatives, but by 2016, a big push was underway to increase the conservative big tent to include openly gay personalities, and the Daily Wire appeared to lead the way in that charge. The burgeoning streaming service was one of the first on the right to give their seal of approval to Dave Rubin.
Our next guest is here.
He's here.
Here in studio with us. Just shot a video for Prager University. Dave Rubin of the Rubin Report is here with us. And thank you for making time for us.
Yeah, this is very exciting.
As a result, Dave became part of a newly forming media cartel that consisted of the Daily Wire, the Rubin Report, PragerU, and a few others. And in September 2017, Dave Rubin welcomed Candace into the fold.
And joining me today is a YouTuber who has done pretty much the scariest thing that one person can do. She has come out as conservative, the scariest of all words. Candace Owens, aka Red Pill Black, welcome to the Rubin Report.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here right now.
Close watchers of her appearance could see this newly forming conservative cartel, and Candace was making the rounds amongst this circuit.
You've suddenly caught fire, and you're doing pieces all over the place. You were on the Daily Wire this morning. I saw you on Jesse Waters. Was it this past weekend, right?
Correct.
Just a couple days ago. Who is this Candace person?
Candace continued to pound home her message. Blacks needed to give up their victim ideology.
There was also a natural shedding of my friends because I couldn't bear to be around, you know, people that were constantly in this state of victimhood, who didn't want to exchange ideas.
Her message was particularly useful to this new circuit because she provided them a bit of a shield. You see, with a Black woman calling out the Black community, it gave this group some protection, or at least an argument point, against accusations of racism. As their discussion progressed, it became clear that key players within this ring were testing Candace out.
You know, I was just at the Daily Wire earlier today, and their studio, their office space is growing.
It's fast.
Fast, and because the conservative movement is growing, because people are realizing that there's nothing left for them on the left.
Yeah.
You either want to race towards the bottom, because that's what it is, right? It's, I'm a bigger victim. Like, what are you guys racing?
Again, Candace took the opportunity to praise Kanye West, almost as if she had a plan in motion.
People ask me, who are you a fan of? You know, I'm only a fan of Kanye West. And the interesting thing is, popular Kanye quote is that if you're a fan of Kanye West, you're not really a fan of Kanye West. You're a fan of yourself, and you believe that you can make it.
By the end of the interview, it became evident to anyone that was paying attention that the conservatives were all courting the rising star.
It was around this time, in the fall of 2017, that one such conservative outfit was able to pull her in.
Here to discuss, Director of Urban Development at Turning Point USA, Candace Owens.
Launched in 2012, Turning Point USA is an American nonprofit whose goal is to introduce conservatism to high school and college students. Led by right-wing political activist Charlie Kirk, the group must have seen something in Candace that would appeal to America's youth, because they decided to harness her energy to make a pitch to Black America.
The main issue is that we keep voting Democrat and expecting different results. And the second that they get into the White House, they do absolutely nothing for African Americans but make sure that we remember that we're Black, so they can play the same identity card the next election cycle. The Democratic Party brought us slavery, they brought us the KKK, they brought us Jim Crow laws.
Candace began to saturate mainstream conservative media, and it got the eye of one person on the planet for which Candace called herself a fan. On April 21st, 2018, Kanye West posted on the then Twitter platform,
"I love the way Candace Owens thinks."
It's hard to exaggerate the magnitude of this endorsement. It was a cultural atomic bomb. At the time, Kanye West was viewed as one of those rare individuals that's globally heralded as an artistic genius. Whether it be his music or his fashion sense or his natural ability to turn a small act into a global controversy.
George Bush doesn't care about Black people.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time.
Controversies and all, in the spring of 2018, Kanye West was globally regarded as an artist's artist. His endorsement of Candace's mind gave her a pop culture legitimacy that few in conservative media had ever enjoyed. Candace understood the significance of the moment and responded to Kanye saying, quote, "I'm freaking out. Kanye West, please take a meeting with me. I tell every single person that everything I have been inspired to do was written in your music. I am my own biggest fan because you made it okay. I need you to help wake up the Black community." Right-wingers immersed in the culture understood the power of what was happening. But political commentator Ben Shapiro was of a different mind.
Because people are famous, we then grant them a certain level of credibility on other issues. So the latest example of this is Kanye West. So believe it or not, the right is now resonating to Kanye West. So now he's tweeting out deep thoughts, and the right is so excited. They're so excited because Kanye West is tweeting out things that sound kind of right-wing, like he tweeted out that he supports Candace Owens.
It should come as no surprise that conservative commentator Ben Shapiro was not particularly a fan of Kanye West or this cultural moment. Ben had long been critical of hip-hop as an art form. But adding to that context was that Ben is an Orthodox Jew, and the Jewish community had a watchful eye on this global superstar.
"We ain't Jewish. We don't got family that got money like that."
A few years earlier, during a 2013 appearance on the popular hip-hop radio show, The Breakfast Club, Kanye discussed the lack of successful Black fashion designers and billionaires.
"We don't got it like that. When I tell you only 7 Black billionaires, look at that marginalization."
During his explanation for why Blacks had relatively no financial power, he said something that the Jewish community deemed as anti-Semitic.
"Man, let me tell you something about George Bush and oil money and Obama and no money. People want to say Obama can't make these moves or he's not executing. That's because he ain't got those connections. Black people don't have the same level of connections as Jewish people. Black people don't have the same connection as oil people. You know we don't know nobody that got a nice house. You know we don't know nobody with paper like that we could go to when we down."
To any honest listener, the statement was obviously true. It was such a matter of fact, not a single person in the room gasped when he said it. Kanye simply acknowledged that the black community wasn't as connected in the moneyed circles as the white or Jewish communities, something any black American in the music industry of the time could co-sign. Nevertheless, the Anti-Defamation League, or ADL, a Jewish advocacy group, immediately claimed Kanye was fueling a classic anti-Semitic stereotype. A representative of the ADL issued a statement stating, quote,
"This is classic anti-Semitism. There it goes again, the age-old canard that Jews are all-powerful and control the levers of power in the government. As a celebrity with a wide following, Kanye West should know better. We hope that he will take responsibility for his words, understand why they are so offensive, and apologize to those he has offended."
It appeared the organization was employing a specific tactic: stop the advance of any and all discussions that even remotely hinted at being anti-Semitic. Well, Jewish outlets amplified the ADL statement. MTV News eventually picked up the story, forcing Kanye to address the controversy.
"I don't know how being told that you have money is like an insult. Right. That would be like if like somebody complimented like black guys and said all black guys got big penises. I thought by saying like everyone had money, I thought that was a compliment. So yeah. It was like an ignorant compliment. So maybe I would like take that statement away."
Kanye acquiesced to the ADL, but the initial statement no doubt conveyed a belief that the rapper had about Jewish financial power. That's all to say that, in April 2018, when Ben Shapiro was skeptical about Kanye West embracing Candace's conservative beliefs, it's not much of a leap to think that Ben's own religious alliances had colored his view of the rapper.
"He tweeted out that he supports Candace Owens. Candace Owens, nice gal, I'm friendly with Candace. Candace is, she works with Charlie Kirk over at Turning Point USA. She's a black conservative. And Kanye West tweeted out that he likes how she thinks. But the right responded to Kanye West as though it was an earth-shattering thing that a big celebrity like Kanye West was saying things that were remotely conservative. But I would just warn folks on the right. You know, you can be happy that Kanye West said something that seems to be conservative, but let's not pretend that Kanye West is some sort of genius, okay?"
Ben Shapiro was skeptical about Kanye's embrace of conservative ideas, but the rapper was about to double and triple down. Over the coming weeks, Kanye went on a MAGA charm offensive. Knowing that the paparazzi follows him everywhere he goes, Kanye went out in public wearing a red Make America Great Again hat. He even tweeted out a picture of a MAGA hat with President Trump's signature on it. The media and some within the black community were outraged. Kanye responded, stating in part on Twitter, quote,
"You don't have to agree with Trump, but the mob can't make me not love him."
Trump, one of the savviest cultural influencers in political history, quickly understood the enormity of the moment and took the opportunity to praise Kanye West at a Michigan rally.
"African American unemployment has reached the lowest level in history. In history." And by the way, in all fairness, Kanye West gets it. He gets it. He gets it.
Kanye returned volley, releasing a single that positioned President Trump as an inspiration. Days later, Kanye was seen with Candace Owens, and the two started a kind of a mental marriage. They made a joint appearance on famed gossip rag TMZ, and the outlet couldn't help but discuss Kanye's recent embrace of the MAGA movement.
"I want to start with what everybody is talking about, because I don't think people necessarily understand what happened last week with the Make America Great Again hat. What drove you to that? What was your point? What are you trying to do with the message you're sending?"
"People say feel free, but they don't really want us to feel free. And I felt a freedom in, first of all, just doing something that everybody tells you not to do. Like, you can't do it for this reason. You can't do this for that reason. So, and, you know, I'm not coming up here to justify anything. It's, you know, you can't tell me nothing. I made the song, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't tell me what I'm supposed to do. And also, it's like all the idea of icons and representations. You know, I don't subscribe to icons. You take like the Nazi symbol. If you go to India, it's all over the place, but it doesn't represent that. It represents something different."
In the Hindu and Buddhist religions of India, the swastika represents good fortune and well-being. It's a positive symbol. Kanye was attempting to explain the dichotomy that, like the swastika, the MAGA hat can mean different things to different people.
So for me, to wear that hat means I want to make America great in my own way.
He'd later bring Candace Owens into the conversation.
And Candace has facts. She's researched,
Candace
right?
Owens.
Candace Owens has facts. She's researched.
Her media blitz with Kanye caught the eye of the White House. And a few weeks later, Candace and Charlie Kirk met with the president. By the summer of 2018, Candace was getting so hot that even a skeptical Ben Shapiro could no longer ignore her rise. He looked to capture some of her energy for his burgeoning streaming network, The Daily Wire.
It's really exciting to have you here. I'm glad you could squeeze in the time because you guys have been busy setting the world on fire. I mean, you're in the headlines and you're all over Twitter, obviously, and on social media. Obviously, Candace, you've just exploded onto the scene. Yeah. I think probably a year and a half ago, nobody knew who you were. And now everybody knows who you are. So how's that been, that sort of precipitous rise?
It's been challenging in some ways, I guess.
Candace was understanding the media game at a level few had experienced firsthand. And she also started to learn how a single tweet could make national news. She decided to apply that lesson on Twitter, and when she did, she'd get her first taste of where the real taboo area resided in American politics.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Red Pilled America. So by the late summer 2018, Candace Owens was learning that with a single tweet, she could make national news. She decided to apply that lesson by running an experiment of sorts on the musings of a prominent liberal writer. In August 2018, the New York Times announced the addition of Sarah Jung, a technology writer, to their editorial board. Within hours, Jung's old anti-white tweets began spreading on Twitter. In one instance, Jung tweeted,
"White people are bull****, like dogs pissing on fire hydrants. Hashtag cancel white people. Are white people genetically predisposed to burn faster in the sun?"
Candace saw an opportunity to expose the bias on Twitter. So she copied the text on the tweet and replaced each instance of the word white with the word Jewish. She did the same thing with another of Jung's anti-white tweets, but in that instance replaced the word white with black. Almost immediately, Twitter gave her a 12-hour suspension and demanded she delete the tweet that included the Jewish reference. Oddly, Twitter allowed Candace's anti-black tweet to remain. The company also allowed Sarah Jung's anti-white tweets to remain on the platform. The lesson was eye-opening. It was Candace's first lesson that there was a taboo subject that could get you canceled. But Candace didn't have much time to ponder this insight, because she was working on something bigger, a movement to free the black community from what she viewed as a mental prison. Candace alluded to the new project in an August 2018 interview.
I'm working really hard and launching a project in a month that is going to be specifically aimed at the black community and getting them engaged.
And while she was preparing for her big announcement, her new brother in arms was doing his part to help lead the way.
Kanye, it's great to be with you. And Kanye has been a friend of mine for a long time.
In mid-October 2018, donning a red Make America Great Again hat, Kanye West visited President Trump in the Oval Office as a gaggle of reporters watched on. The two exchanged pleasantries.
Let me ask you this question. You're in the Oval Office.
Okay.
How does it feel to be in the Oval Office?
Oh, it is good energy in this.
Isn't it good energy? Yeah.
But then Kanye went on a diatribe that went against just about every signature issue on the Democrat platform. He spoke about black-on-black crime.
And we also, as black people, we have to take a responsibility for what we're doing. We kill each other more than police officers.
He talked about the Second Amendment.
We have the right to bear arms.
He spoke about bringing manufacturing back to America.
Well, we can create some factories. Now, I think it would be cool for them to be Trump factories because he's a master of industry. He's a builder.
Kanye talked about how Democrats control the black community.
The liberal would try to control a black person through the concept of racism because they know that we are very proud, emotional people. So when I said I like Trump to like someone that's liberal, they'll say, oh, but he's racist. You think racism can control me?
But perhaps most frightening to the media and DC establishment was that Kanye praised President Trump.
You know, they tried to scare me to not wear this hat, my own friends. But this hat, it gives me power in a way. It was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman. But I love this guy right here. Let me give this guy a hug right here. I love this guy right here.
Well, the media didn't know how to handle the spectacle. They didn't want to cover it, but they had to. So they attempted to portray Kanye as crazy.
A surreal day in the White House.
Kanye West in the Oval Office today, unfiltered and unapologetic. For more than 10 minutes, the controversial rapper delivering a frenetic, at times jarring, monologue.
Rapper's meandering monologue touched on more than a dozen topics. The president seemed almost at a loss for words.
I'll tell you what, that was pretty impressive.
About 2 weeks later, in late October 2018, Candace introduced her movement to America with an assist by Kanye West.
Today in this room, I'm so excited because we are going to launch in front of the world a movement that will forever be remembered as a piece of American history, a movement called Blexit, the Black Exit. The Black Exit from permanent victimhood, the black exit from the false idea that we are somehow separate from the rest of America. The Blexit movement will spend 2019 holding rallies in every major city in America that the Democrats have destroyed. Blexit is a renaissance, and I'm blessed to say that this logo, these colors, were created by my dear friend and fellow superhero, Kanye West, who has taken one of the boldest steps in America to open a conversation that we have needed to have.
The announcement immediately grabbed the attention of conservative media.
I have to talk about this walkaway movement that went, the walkaway march happened over the weekend.
The Daily Wire's Andrew Klavan praised Candace's efforts.
And Candace Owens was also there with what she is calling hilariously Blexit, which is the black exit from the Democrat Party. And it was really moving. I mean, thousands of people showed up for the march. But also to see the young black political leaders who showed up for a meeting, personal meeting with President Trump and were so thrilled to see him and were so pro-American.
Fox News also jumped on the bandwagon.
So explain for us what Blexit is and how you came up with the idea. You were watching a television.
And I came up with it actually backstage at CPAC. I got slammed out of hearing Trump speak because I was too late to go to the doors. And I was shoved into this tiny little room with Nigel Farage. And we were watching the president speak. I looked up and I said, oh, that's the guy who did the Brexit thing. And I said, we really need a Blexit in America.
There it was.
And there it was. The
What'd
idea was hatched.
The 1-2 punch of Kanye and Candace was a monumental moment for the conservative movement. One of the biggest artistic stars on the planet teamed up with a rising black conservative woman to deliver a message that Democrats had been censoring for decades. It was obvious that these two were uncontrollable. Perhaps that was why the conservative gatekeepers were reluctant to let them in. But it didn't matter, because they smashed through the door. Their efforts were moving the needle in unprecedented ways. And that's why this Blexit movement had to be stopped, or at least regulated. Enter Media Matters, a far-left nonprofit organization that is dedicated to taking down conservatives. A writer from that organization took a snippet of a Candace Owens statement and used it to paint the Blexit founder as a Hitler sympathizer. At a late 2018 event in London, Candace was asked why so many people appeared to be afraid of the word nationalism.
I actually don't have any problems at all with the word nationalism. I think that the definition gets poisoned by elitists that actually want globalism. Globalism is what I don't want. So when you think about whenever we say nationalism, the first thing people think about, at least in America, is Hitler. You know, he was a national socialist. But if Hitler just wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine. The problem is that he had dreams outside of Germany. He wanted to globalize.
It was clear to any honest observer that Candace was simply saying that Hitler gave nationalism its negative slant. But the truth didn't matter, because in just a few weeks, Candace would be put through a cleansing process that opened her eyes to an invisible hand within conservative media.
Coming up on Red Pilled America.
I believe we met in 2010, correct?
I think that's right. Another friend of mine who attended the Bible study invited me to this secret Hollywood meeting of conservatives called Friends of AIM.
Critics of the Never Trump movement have been out in force, and they're trying to browbeat those of us who don't support Trump into embracing this demagogic loudmouth moron with tyrannical views of government and an incoherent quasi-isolationist foreign policy.
Red Pilled America is an iHeartRadio original podcast. It's owned and produced by Patrick Harelci and me, Adriana Cortez, for Informed Ventures. Now you can get ad-free access to our entire catalog of episodes by becoming a Backstage subscriber. To subscribe, just visit redpilledamerica.com and click Join in the top menu. Thanks for listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
The stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media? And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.